verse, even though we're not going to quite start there, but this is the principle in which I'm hoping to encourage us with this evening. In 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And keep that in mind. That will be the content of the message this evening. But before we get there, I want you to look at a truth in Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, and we'll also look at a principle over in the book of Philippians. And I want you to look at this example in Luke chapter number 10 in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord is ministering, the Bible tells us here about an account, a particular day, an event that took place. It says in verse number 38 of Luke 10, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" Notice verse number 41, "Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" We're not going to deal with the entirety of this interaction that takes place here with Mary and Martha. It's an account that we're somewhat familiar with. But I want you to notice what Jesus said to Martha. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And this word careful that is used here in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 41, it means to be anxious, to be troubled. And we see that she, of course, was cumbered about with much serving according to verse number 40, but she was careful and troubled about many things. Now, keep that thought in that example of Martha, and then look at a truth in the book of Philippians in chapter number 4, and I want you to see the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives to the believers in Philippi. And we understand, and many of us can identify perhaps with Martha this evening when Jesus says that, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And there are times in our lives that we are careful, we are anxious and troubled about many things. Notice in Philippians chapter number 4, in verse number 4, the Apostle Paul says to the believers at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Notice this in verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing." And that phrase is the title for the message this evening, "Be careful for nothing." For nothing. It's the same word that was used there when Jesus said to Martha in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." And now Paul says to the believers at Philippi, "Be careful for nothing. Be anxious or troubled for nothing." The reality is that the particular day and age in which we're living, we find that there are many that are full of care, that are anxious and dealing with fear and anxiety and all sorts of things. And we see this very visible during this particular time of the pandemic. But the reality is that this is something that has been ongoing for a long period of time. People are troubled, they're careful, they're anxious, and we find here that for God's people, we're not to be careful for all of these things, we're not to have this anxiety and to be troubled. We find that we've been given this instruction, "Be careful for nothing." We many times could use the word worry and deal with it within this context of worrying about things. And the reality is that we have this truth. The Apostle Paul didn't just say, "Be careful for nothing," and then move on to the next principle. But notice why it is that we can be careful for nothing, why it is that we can avoid worrying. The Bible says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And I want you to think about that truth in verse number 6 of Philippians 4. And really, if you're with us this morning, keep it in context even with the message that we dealt with this morning, that there was a recognition of that woman. Remember that distraught, that troubled mother. She was in despair and she was desperate over the situation with her daughter. The daughter was grievously vexed with a devil. And the Bible, or as we looked at that message, and the Bible gave us the example of that woman and the interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that she went to Jesus and she made a request, and we saw the reality of the fact that what she recognized about who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that she then made this request. Well, notice what it says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, notice, let your requests be made known unto God. So instead of being full of care, instead of having anxiety and being troubled, instead of worrying about the situation, we as the people of God have the privilege of prayer. We can go to God. And by the way, the amount of time that we would spend praying and seeking the face of God about the situation that may cause us to be troubled and anxious is far better spent in prayer than in worry. And someone said that worry is like a rocking chair. It'll keep you busy but won't get you anywhere. And the reality is that we have the privilege of going to God in prayer and understanding several things about who God is. The one to whom we're praying to, the fact that He is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Omnipotent, the fact that He rules and He reigns, that He's eternal, that He's Alpha and Omega, that He knows the end from the beginning, that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so I have the opportunity, the privilege to go to God, understanding who He is and what He's capable of doing, and bringing my request unto Him, or I could worry about it. Or I could worry. I could be careful. And Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Notice verse number 7 of Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's never a thing that I spend worrying about that results in peace. Just more anxiety. If you'd be honest, if there's something that you worry about, worrying about it doesn't bring you any level of peace, of any calmness. In fact, worrying about it tends to cause more problems. Worry, anxiety, being careful is not good for your health. I mean, we could look at it from a medical perspective. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to deal with all of that. But there are some adverse physical things that happen when we're full of care and worry. And when we understand what Paul is saying to the believers here in Philippi, and we begin to really take and apply these truths to our own lives and understand that, listen, I'm not going to worry about this thing. I'm going to go to God in prayer about this thing, knowing that He's able to do something about it, and my worrying isn't going to change it one bit. And then after I've spent that season in prayer, I've labored in prayer, I've sought the face of God, not only with prayer and supplication, but with thanksgiving, understanding that even at the moment of making my request, I can thank Him for knowing that He will work exactly as He knows best. He may not work according to what I think should be done, but we can rest in the truth that He will do what's right. And then I can have the peace of God. You say, but does it mean that that thing is removed? Not necessarily. In fact, the storm could still be very much raging. The trouble and the trouble or the trial and the circumstances could be worse than they've ever been. But we can have the peace of God. Why? Because He is the God of peace. because he's the Prince of Peace. And he said there in John, think about this truth in John chapter number 14, when he spoke these words to the disciples, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He says, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." We understand that our Savior, he has overcome the world. And what a joy that is. And it can bring peace in our hearts and our lives. See, the truth that we find in Philippians, we saw it illustrated there with Martha during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, when she's cumbered about with much serving and she says, "Master, aren't you going to tell Mary to come and help me?" And he says, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled for many things. One thing is needful," and he refers to Mary being in that position of worship and at the feet of Jesus. And here we find that Paul is giving this instruction to the believers at Philippi, of course, preserved for us this evening, that we're to be careful for nothing. See, if it just stopped there, we might not know, how can I do that? How can I be careful for nothing? Well, then I begin to look at what I just shared with you at the rest of verse number 6 and verse number 7, and it helps me come to that place. In fact, the same word here in Philippians 4 and verse number 6 is the same word that we saw there in Luke 10 and verse number 41. And now go over, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 7 gives us this great truth, and I hope that I can package it for you this evening that it makes sense as we look here at the situation. Listen, many of us can identify with Martha. There are times in our lives, if we'd be honest, that we have been careful for many things. We've worried. We've had anxiety. We've been troubled and anxious over the events and the circumstances. And we find that there's a truth that is given in the book of Philippians with regard to being careful for nothing and how we are to pray and seek the face of God and then have that peace that passeth all understanding. But notice what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Casting all," how much? "All your care upon him, for he careth for you." It's interesting as we look at this word here, care. It is not the same Greek word that is used in Luke and in Philippians. That Greek word is careful, but we find that this word care is the root word for the word that we find in Luke and in Philippians. And so we see it, there's the similarity there. We understand that he's speaking about the same thing, of that worry, of that being troubled and being anxious. And here we find that Peter says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The thing that is interesting about this verse of Scripture, it's a simple verse of Scripture. You can memorize it quite easily. But to live it is quite the difficult thing. The word casting means to throw upon or to place upon. I mean, can you get in your mind's eye this choosing of words? And we understand that every word of God is pure, and we understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as Peter is giving this message, he says, casting, literally to throw upon or to place upon, casting all. All is an interesting word. It's a simple word. I had a professor in Bible college that often would say, "All means all, and that's all that all means." And it means each, every, any, all, the whole, all things, everything. I mean, it's an inclusive word. And we find that he says, casting all your care. Those things that you're caring about, the ones that belong to you, those items that would bring you a level of worry and anxiety in your life, the things that you are caring upon that are taking your attention, it says, casting all your care upon him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God. Remember, what did Paul say back in Philippians 4? "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God, right? And we seek the face of God, and we understand that He is able, and we find that He then says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And so we find here that the truth from Peter to the believers is to cast all your care upon Him. Now, I want you to understand, as we begin to look at this verse in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, that these individuals that he is writing to, the believers in the first century that Peter is ministering to, these are individuals that are dealing with great levels of hardship. These are individuals that are dealing with the persecution under Nero, and they're dealing with all sorts of difficulties, and we find that Peter tells them this in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We find that as we would look here at the folks that Peter is writing to, he would tell them in chapter number 4, in verse number 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. See, the reality is these believers in the first century, they were facing some serious situations. They were facing things that we cannot even begin to relate to. In fact, as we read much of church history, as we read the church history that is contained in the Bible of the first century, we read others that have written of church history throughout the centuries, and we can begin to remember and to see what our brothers and sisters have endured and suffered throughout the centuries. We find that many times the things that we endure pale in comparison. And to these people that Peter says, though you're being tried, though you're in this fiery trial, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Why the instruction, Peter? Why would you tell us to cast all of our care? The reality is that it seems obvious, if you're telling somebody to cast your care, that we carry cares, right? It's a human thing. It's natural for us as human beings to have this being this Martha syndrome of being careful and troubled about many things and having that worry and that anxiety. There are some people that just in their DNA, like just nothing seems to affect them. I mean, they just go through life and it just seems like, what is up with this person? Like, it just seems like they have this just, island mentality all of the time. Like, nothing ever, there's no urgency, there's no care. And then there's others that just seem like it's in our DNA to just want to care about everything and worry about every little detail. You may fall somewhere in the middle, but the reality is that we can understand when this instruction is given, casting all your care upon Him. We have at times in our lives, and for some of us more often than others, we have that Martha syndrome of being careful and troubled for many things. What do we do? How do we deal with it? We take what Paul says, we take what Peter says, we follow the instruction. He says, casting all your care upon Him, notice this wonderful promise. We sang tonight, standing on the promises to start our service. And I mean, there are so many promises in the Word of God. I mentioned already that it's Peter that makes that statement that we have. He actually says it in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And it's amazing to me, and actually as you study 1 and 2 Peter and see the way in which he uses the word precious, you see this old fisherman that's using the word precious. And he looks at these promises, obviously we understand inspiration of the Bible, but he uses this expression to speak about the promises of God being exceeding great and precious. Notice this one here, for He, God, careth for you. He careth for you. Now, the thing that's interesting, as we look at the Bible, as we look at our own lives, is that God's interested in the individual. I mentioned this morning, by way of introduction, we're looking at the gospel account there in Matthew, and Mark also gave us a record of that particular interaction between that troubled mother and the Lord Jesus Christ. That oftentimes throughout the Gospels, we have these opportunities to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and to read about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times in which we see Him ministering to the multitudes, right? The multitudes are gathered, and the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. And there are times in which we see the Lord Jesus Christ ministering amongst the multitudes. The fact of the matter is that the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, I mean, she came through. She wanted to just touch the hem of His garment. He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are like, I mean, you're thronged with people. What do you mean, who touched you? We see Him ministering to the multitudes. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in the interactions, as I mentioned this morning, with the religious crowd, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, and we see those interactions. But oh, how precious it is when we see Him interacting with the individual. The individual. I think about the times in which you look at the gospel accounts and you see in John chapter number 4 when He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Right, we speak of John 4 with the woman at the well. And you look at the particulars of that passage of Scripture, and really it would have been very unnatural for them to go through Samaria. In fact, during that particular era, Jews would go out of their way to bypass. They would be inconvenienced so that they would not go through Samaria. And we find that Jesus says, "I must go through Samaria. I must needs go to Samaria." And He goes, and there's this woman at the well. We find that the disciples leave. Remember, they needed water and they needed food, and they went to go get some things, and during that time, He's interacting with whom? An individual, the woman at the well. We could see how that the maniac of Gadara, and you look at the fact of the Scriptures, and if you follow the timeline of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, they get on the ship and they go over and they come into the coast of Gadara, and there's that one man, that maniac, and we find that Jesus ministers, and this man that was naked and outside of his mind, that was possessed of demons, because of the interaction that he had with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's made whole. And you know, right after that maniac is healed and saved and then sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know what they do? They get on the boat and they leave. For one. The maniac of Gadara. And we could go on this evening and we could look at a number of examples of dealing with the fact that Jesus is concerned for the individual. And when I look at this verse of Scripture and I find this truth, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And I understand you being singular and plural at the same time. He careth for all of us collectively as His people, but He cares for me individually as an individual. And to understand that the God of the universe, that He cares about me. That He is interested in my life personally, that He loves me personally. I shared with the family just last week during our devotions, and I've shared with you what we've been doing with our family devotions in recent months, and how that we've been selecting an individual each day, pulling a name from a cup, and that person gets to read our devotional, but also share some things from their own personal daily devotions that day. It's been so good and so rich and just precious. And just a few weeks ago, I don't know, maybe a week and a half ago actually, my name was pulled from the cup. And on that particular day, I had read much of the book of John in my own personal devotions. And a truth that stood out for me from John chapter number 11 was a truth that I've known. But just the way that the truth hit me from the passage of Scripture, there's many wonderful truths that God gives us in John John 11 with regard to his plan and so on and so forth. But we find the Bible, when we think about the fact that God loves us as individuals, you know, it's interesting when Lazarus was sick there in John chapter number 11, when his sister sent those servants, you know what they said to the Lord? Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick. We find that on several occasions here in John chapter number 11 that the truth is revealed to us with regard to the love that Jesus had for an individual. For God so loved the world. We understand that truth and we rejoice in that truth. But then when we narrow it right in and say, that means me, individually. And we find that Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know that God wants you to cast your care upon him? He does. He doesn't want us to carry it. I think about this in the context of many things, and we could look at the truth in Matthew chapter number 5 as Jesus is speaking there and giving the sermon. Matthew chapter number 6, the Sermon on the Mount, and as he's talking to them about not being concerned about the things that they would eat or drink and so on and so forth, and the fact that they're to seek first the kingdom of God. You know, I don't want my kids to worry about how the food is going to be on the table or how this is going to happen. As a parent, you don't want your children being careful, worrying about those things. God is our Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us worried about the things of this world. He wants us casting, throwing down, placing upon. He wants us to cast all of our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. He careth for you as an individual. See, sometimes in our lives, we suffer with the Martha syndrome. We see it in Luke 10 and verse 41. We started there this evening. And sometimes we suffer with that thing, and we deal with that. We are careful, troubled about many things. Oftentimes, there are things that we could never change, way beyond our ability. But even if there were things that we could change, we're not supposed to be careful about them. We're supposed to worry about them. And we take the instruction of Paul and of Peter, and we say to you this evening, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a great promise to know that God cares about you. He cares about me. And he wants you to cast your care upon him. What are you anxious about? What are you worried about? Would you spend that time in prayer? Instead of worrying about it, instead of taking the time to worry and fret over it, why don't you spend that time in prayer? He's able to do something about it. Let your request be made known unto God. And then we can have the result, that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Worry has never produced peace in my life. It just hasn't. When I was a kid, my mom used to tell me I was a worry wart. Do you remember that? Yeah, that's why Brianna got that passed down, amen? And she's saying, thanks, Dad, throwing me right under the bus. But when I was a kid, my mom used to tell me all the time I was a worry wart. And I'd worry about things. I don't even know why I'd worry about things. I'd worry about worrying about something. And then after you, and I'm not saying that I've conquered it completely, but man, when you get into the truth of the Word of God and you say, this isn't something I have to be careful about. I don't have to worry about it. It doesn't mean I don't care about what happens. It just means I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be full of that care, anxiety, and trouble. Why? Because I'm going to go to God and let Him take care of it and let Him deal with it. I'm going to cast physically that process of casting all our care upon Him. Now, here's the real catch. Don't take it back. Right? Once you cast it upon him and you say, I'm gonna leave this with the Lord. Leave it there. Right? Don't leave from that place of prayer and go ahead and take all those cares back with you. No, leave it there. Let God work. Let God do what God can do. Casting all your care upon him, Paul said, be careful for nothing. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together this evening. Thank you for just the truth of your word. And I know that many of us can relate to this Martha syndrome, as we've kind of called it this evening. There are times in our lives, if we'd be honest, that we are full of care. We worry, we are troubled, we have anxiety, anxiousness. Lord, would you help us to follow the admonition of Scripture? Would you help us to experience your grace in this area? Help us to recognize that you care about us, that you love us as an individual. We know that there are over 7 billion people in the world today. But you are the Almighty God. And you care about us as individuals. And we can bring and cast our care upon you. Would you help us, Lord, to have the peace of God which passeth all understanding? We'll thank you for the work that you do in our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.